We'd like to start out singing, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship, in your blue hymnal worship book, number 8. Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. We're going to have the hymns a little differently this morning, which I hope will rejuvenate you. Feel free to move. Feel free to come up and bang on these drums if you want to. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, dance in the aisles, whatever you want to do to move you. And let's stand for this first song.
Have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the secret of the Holy One comes out. Holy and the
Good morning, and welcome to chapel. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the glorious weather we've been having today, or this week in general. And we just thank you for all the people that have come here today to hear the word that will be given to us. I pray that you will be with us as we hear these words, and you will allow us all to take something from this. And to be with us in our hearts. In your name, amen. We light this candle as a symbol of God's presence with us. After we do a little bit more singing, we will hear some words by a man who you all probably know. He is a wonderful guy, and defender of liberty and all that good stuff. So we'll do some more singing, and then we'll hear some words from none other than President James E. Brenneman.
To continue singing, let's turn in our blue hymnal worship book, number 103, Jubilate Deo. And let's go ahead and stand as you're able.
Jubilate Deo, omnis terra, servite Domino in laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia in laetitia. Alleluia, alleluia in laetitia. Thank you.
you would now stay standing, turn in your purple Sing the Story books to 124. Number 124, My Soul Cries Out. You may now be seated and turn into the green Sing the Journey books, number 79, As I Went Down to the River to Pray. 79 in your green Sing the Journey books.
Show me. We're down at the river. Let us bow our heads in prayer. We await at the riverbank, O God, to hear your word to us this morning. May we have ears to hear what the Spirit says. Amen. It wasn't so long ago, my 15-year-old son and I went to watch one of the, well, it was the latest in the series of the Transformer movies. You may have seen that or not. It's called Transformers: Dark of the Moon. It's based on, as all these Transformer movies are, based on some of those toys that started out in the 80s, in which it was either a robot-like figure or a humanoid figure who would transform, literally, into electronic gadgets or perhaps into other kinds of gadgets as well, spacecrafts, vehicles, and then transform back into their original shape. In this particular movie, it was the Autobots versus the Decepticons. And I'm not recommending the movie, but hey, it was action-oriented, let me put it that way. And some of you may have had those Transformers in your toy box. Some of you may have them in your toy box still, I don't know. But it only dawned on me recently that these movies have something to do, this idea of identity shapeshifters might be appealing to something that is a deep longing in all of our souls, that is to be transformed in our minds, to be transformed in our hearts, to be transformed in, perhaps even in our bodies, you know, with all the kinds of things we do nowadays. Now, in Martin Luther King Jr. convocation not long ago, Dr. Vincent Harding tapped into this deep longing of ours, and he was responding to a question that Yolo Lopez Perez asked him. And he responded to a question about the relationship between our identity as a college, now that was more in institutional terms, but I want to apply that to ourselves as individuals this morning as well. The question was about our identity as individuals or as an institution and our relationships with each other. He, if you recall, recommended that whoever we are, whatever identity we currently have, we shouldn't grasp to it too tightly as if it were a stone pillar that we have to hold on to very tightly to preserve it at all costs. Instead, he said that we should see our identities more like that of caterpillars for whom change, radical, structural change, is destiny. This past weekend, I sat through 5 showings of the Goshen High School musical, The Wizard of Oz. My son happens to be one of the characters in there. And in that, I was sitting there and I was reminded again that this is a wonderful story about the possibility and the power of identity transformation. The cowardly lion regains his courage. The tin man receives a heart or becomes aware of the heart that he always had. The witless scarecrow discovers that he has a brain after all. And runaway Dorothy realizes that in the end, there's no place like home. It's a powerful story, really, of identity transformation times four. Now, sandwiched between these various experiences that I've had recently, two of you students came to my office and we had a wonderful conversation, and I'm sort of summarizing it, as it were, encapsulating it, what I feel like our conversation was about. The questions that were being asked, that we were wondering about, was whether we at Goshen College really, truly believed in the transforming power of Christ to change our world for the better. That was sort of assumed. But also, do we believe in that same transforming power of Christ to change each one of us individually in our own lives? Can we move from where we are to where God intends for us to be? I left the meeting, and I would say we left the meeting, if I can speak for them, determined to renew our commitment to speak about the power of God through Christ's Spirit to transform us and others, to transform our individual selves, to transform our campus life, to transform our bodies, our souls, and our spirits in order to experience God's best intentions for us. I believe one of the hallmarks of a good college education, and certainly the value of a Christian college education, the added value, if you will, is this dimension that invites us to think of the possibility that each one of us might undergo a changeover, an identity transformation. Sometimes we call that a conversion of one type or another. That should be at least one good outcome of a good education. Why do I say that? Because the Apostle Paul links the mind with that kind of transformation. The Apostle Paul says in his letter to the Romans, he says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to discern what the will of God is, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That word transformed in the Greek comes out in the Latin, it really is the word metamorphosis. He's saying, be metamorphosized in your minds. That is, morph into something greater than you presently are. The only other places in the New Testament where that word metamorphosis is used is in that story where Jesus goes up onto the mountain with Peter, James, and John after his resurrection, and there it says he was metamorphosized in front of them. We translate that as transfigured in front of them. Transformation of this kind, transfiguration of our minds, of our knowledge base, of our professional skills, of our social conscience, and our spiritual lives must always, in my opinion, be the rule, not the exception, here at Goshen College. If on a day-by-day basis we aren't in some ways being made aware of our own need for transformation at all of these levels of our lives, then we're not offering the best Christian liberal arts education that we can. And I think we do that, and we can always improve. What I love, though, about the analogy of the metamorphosis of a caterpillar into a beautiful monarch butterfly is that both bodily forms have exactly the same DNA structure. The DNA structure of the organism encodes for both body forms. And during metamorphosis, some new genes are turned on that produce the final butterfly shape. In addition, many of the same genes are exactly the same in both bodily forms, across both forms. In other words, the core, or the essential, or the essence of the organism is the same before and after its morphing, But in one instance, it gives you a whole new opportunity to experience life in a fundamentally different way. Said differently, the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly is simultaneously of little consequence genetically and of immense consequence experientially. In terms of our identity as a college, or as individuals sitting here this morning, the analogy of metamorphosis, of being transformed or transfigured, means it's possible to be essentially and deeply connected with our past, to our own histories, to that spiritual DNA within us, and also to be radically transfigured, transformed into something far greater than we have ever yet imagined ourselves becoming. The kind of metamorphosis or transformation or transfiguration that the Bible speaks about isn't simply sort of a matter of lining up our highest ideals, putting them up there for us to see, or restating our common confessions, or making sure that the rules or boundaries of our various identities are drawn ever more clearly, and then sort of setting out to achieve those goals, or to perfect our self-image, or to guard our boundaries. Such a life may at first glance seem admirable, noble, it certainly seems safe, but it may also simply be a caterpillar life well lived. By contrast, Parker Palmer, the great Quaker educator, still living, has written wonderful books on education. He suggests that true transformation happens best when you, and the title of one of his little books says, let your life speak. He's borrowing that from an old ancient Quaker adage that says, let your life speak. That says transformation and metamorphosis happens when, in his words, you live the life that wants to live in you. You live the life that's already in you and wants to be transformed and lived out. Metamorphosis happens when the spirit, if you will, turns on the spiritual genes that already lie in each one of us while we're still in our caterpillar selves. And here I'm talking about we all have caterpillar selves at various levels of our beings. In order for that liberating metamorphosis to happen, Palmer invites us to create sort of these spaces, these quiet zones within our lives, within our communities, that allow our souls, that who God has created us to be, to speak its truth to us as creatures of the divine creator, that allows the spirit to awaken our true selves to us. Some such awakening may involve identifying natural talents and limitations within us. In other words, this isn't simply about saying, be all you can be. It's also being able to say, I have certain limits because of who I am. Identify those great gifts you have, but perhaps those limits also that you might know about yourself for whatever reason, and invite the Spirit to help break free both your gifts and to increase your giftedness if there are limits around you. Instead of simply trying to live the life someone else wishes you to live, or the life you're trying desperately to live and falling short. Metamorphosis, effective transformation, can't transform caterpillars into monarchs if caterpillars are absolutely secure in their status. If caterpillars are safe in their self-assumptions or sealed off from the challenge of others and the spirit, we won't be metamorphosized. If transformation happens by the renewing of our minds, as the Apostle Paul says, then an education that transforms or transfigures our minds and liberates our souls must not become a tool simply of indoctrinating us, especially if that fails to challenge our self-perceived perfections or perfections that others put on us or our own particular identity markers. Even if they're noble and good, We need to be, the Spirit challenges us if we truly want to be transformed, as Scripture is describing this. Metamorphosis, in point being, it's not going to be an easy road, what I'm describing. Metamorphosis may be one of the hardest experiences we will ever undertake as ordinary people. The morphing of caterpillars into monarch butterflies can feel heart and soul wrenching. The shape-shifting that happens between crawl-inching on a leaf and flying into the sun might be as terrifying as it is liberating. And yet such a miracle lies dormant in each one of us at some time or another. Maybe today, within us, but time, certainly again and again throughout our lives and the various cycles of our lives, this potentiality lies within us. Metamorphosis need not, in my opinion, and must not, be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. We should always be ready for the Holy Spirit to transform us from who we are to whom God calls us to become. Such transformation, if and when it happens, can literally be a reinvention of life as we know it. Metamorphosis is a version of spiritual muscle pulling. Transformation requires a rewriting of our individual story into a whole new story. That is, taking our different stories and placing them in this grand narrative of God's story. I once heard someone describe the rewritten life, and I think it applies here. The rewritten life is sort of like taking or yanking cruel, drunken, abusive, foul-mouthed pap out of Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn and putting him in a whole new story as the loving, gentle dad who Huck always dreamed of. Metamorphosis can turn a cowardly, vacillating, Christ-denying fisherman into a great preacher. Peter, the rock upon whom the church is built. Metamorphosis can change self-doubt into confidence, bitterness and anger and cynicism into forgiveness, joy, and hopefulness. Metamorphosis can change a young man, I know this so truly in my own life, hooked on cigarettes with low self-esteem, in order to shift him someday into becoming the president of Goshen College. If you haven't started, don't. And that feels to me as miraculous as a caterpillar turned monarch. It ain't easy being transformed, being transfigured from who we are at certain levels of our being to who God wants us to be. Our caterpillar sometimes turns out to be better than we turns out to be better than we imagined when we were going through the hell of transformation. Metamorphosis can wrench sin from sinful people and feel like hell, but it can also convert hell into heaven and transform what is meant for evil into good, and transfigure sinners into saints. If there's going to be among us now or in the future such transfigured individuals among us, saints, if you will, and all I mean are people who open themselves up to be transformed from who they are to who God wants them to be, if there's going to be in our futures Sojourner Truths or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, or Fannie Lou Hammers, or Albert Schweitzers, or Severo Ochoas, or Lema Gebawis, or Zugbi Zugbis. All of these are Spirit-led people who open themselves in very vulnerable ways in the past, or are currently so living lives of monarchs who are helping to change the world in wonderful ways, or did help change the world for the good. If we open ourselves, let us be transformed in our minds, in our hearts, and let the metamorphosis of the Spirit work in our lives. I think that should be a goal of a good Goshen College education. My prayer this morning is that we will be such a community where the Spirit of God stirs up and turns on those spiritual genes within each one of us, no matter our need, our lack of self-empowerment, no matter our situation or what levels of our psyche or selves that need that transformation. Let's open ourselves up to that possibility this morning. Would that we continue to be that community that inspires such a vision of transformation. Let's be sisters and brothers, a community, a family, a faith, that we provide that transformational space for each other. We need each other for this sometimes to happen, to break through to us, so that the transforming power of the Holy Spirit can shape shift us from caterpillars to monarchs. May it be so. Amen.
Final song, we'll do number 427, You Shall Go Out With Joy. I invite you, if you feel invigorated by the idea of transformation and change, to come join us afterwards. We're going to be jamming for a few minutes. Come and dance. You're welcome to leave after two verses of singing. Please stand, You Shall Go Out With Joy.